Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We have, of course, been following the story in Israel, the developing story that started yesterday during the show, the horrific bombings where one teenager was killed. But we wanted to try and get a little bit more of an understanding who was behind it. When we spoke with Anthony Reich earlier this morning, it seems that nobody has taken responsibility. Where to from here? Lahav Harkov Levine, a senior contributing editor and diplomatic correspondent at the Jerusalem Post, joins us this morning. Lahav, good morning. Thanks for doing so. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So it's a, well, first of all, it's a change in pattern because we haven't seen this type of attack in Israel for a number of years. That must be the first concern that people have.
Yeah, I mean, this definitely harkens back to, you know, around 20 plus years ago, the Second Intifada, where not only were buses and bus stops a frequent target for Palestinian terrorist attacks, but also this bomb was loaded up with nails and bolts meant to inflict maximum harm to the people in the surrounding area, which is also sort of a trademark of Second Intifada terrorism. It was definitely a concern and not something that Israel would like to see a return to.
Why would it be that nobody's taken responsibility? I would have thought that there would be, in inverted commas, pride in this type of, again, in inverted commas, success.
Well, there's definitely some kind of pride. I mean, you can see videos and photos of people in Gaza handing out sweets to celebrate the murder of a teenager. There were some reports, although I admit that I hadn't seen any video or anything, of some Arab and Palestinians celebrating at the World Cup in Qatar as well. But as far as taking credit, there's a manhunt going on. Israel doesn't have a lot of information about who plans this bombing, you know, and who carried it out. And I think maybe taking credit would give clues to Israel, and so it could be that the silence is to, you know, to protect whoever did this.
And even the style of it, the fact that it wasn't a suicide bomber, that it seems to have been detonated remotely, all of this is just a strange, and maybe perhaps I'm looking at it from the outside in, but there's something quite uncomfortable about the unknown or the lack of familiarity of this, which is a strange thing to say, I know, but there's something that says, that forces us to ask what's going on here.
Yeah, and I think that I understand the discomfort. I think that in some ways it's going to, you know, if this happens again, it's definitely going to shake Israelis out of a level of complacency. There's a story that I told online, which is I actually saw a suspicious object on a bus in the exact location of where this bombing was a few months ago. And I reported it to the driver. The driver, first of all, like, other people on the bus just like groaned at me. Like, why are you delaying us on our commute?
Yeah, we're busy here. Yeah, we haven't got time for this.
Exactly. And I just think that, you know, that level of complacency is because we hadn't seen an attack like this that was in sort of bags abandoned at a bus stop. And by the way, it was nothing in the end.
You know? Right. Right,
in fact, was nothing when I reported it. But yeah. There's some complacency, which I hope that we're not shaken out of it, but that could happen.
Because you almost become accustomed to keeping an eye out for a possible knife attack for that type of an incident, but there hasn't been this for a while. Do you think that this has the potential to influence the coalition talks?
Not really. Immediately after the attack, different people said things along the lines of, this shows that we need to form a government right away so we can start fighting terror. But then by the evening, the usual sort of arguments and fighting about who's getting which portfolio and what authority falls under what ministry started up again. And so, unfortunately, because I think that the stability would be good for Israel, leaving aside the actual makeup of the government, I don't think this is changing much in terms of politics.
Yeah, and which is fascinating to see. But as this almost carries on a separate channel, the other aspect, and certainly I've been watching out for it here in South Africa, is there's been absolutely no reporting of this, or very very little reporting around the world. I know in other parts of the world it was reported as this. An explosion in Jerusalem, as though this is just, it just so happened to have happened.
Right, spontaneous
combustion. Yes, which is happening all over Israel, but nowhere else in the world. In South Africa, we kind of ignored it completely. As a journalist in this space, how frustrating is this for you?
Well, my feelings are mixed. Like, as an Israeli, I would like the whole world to hear about this so that they have sympathy and understand us, even though I know that's not necessarily the result. But I'm an Israeli-American, and so I know, like, in the U.S., for example, there have been a few deadly shootings in the past few days. And so I can understand why this is not, like, the highest on the list right now. But I'm more concerned about the narrative when they do report it. So, like, that AP example was, I think, the most egregious in the sense of that it suggested spontaneous combustion, which is obviously not the case. And by the time they had reported it, they knew better, right? We don't know exactly who did it, but we knew already how it was done, sort of.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. The fact is that there were two of them. That's already immediately an indication as to what's going on here.
Yeah, exactly. And they were the same, basically. Both at bus stops, both in bags that were left behind, both bombs loaded up in the house.
Are you saying to some extent it can be better for it to be ignored than reported with a narrative that is damaging?
I mean, I'm not saying I want it to be.
No, I know you're not saying it. You're not saying it in binary terms. I get that.
Right. Like, but it's a case in which I just don't think that it's, like, pernicious intent or anything like that, but just that, you know, in general, right? Like, there's the war going on in Ukraine. There's the World Cup. So it's not like when a news editor is looking at what they're going to put on the homepage, like, I can understand that this week the priorities will be different.
So it's interesting. I have a similar kind of a debate here in South Africa, because I'm also kind of happier in a way that it doesn't get reported. The only time I would like these things reported is if it's building towards something where there's going to be an Israel response, because the Israel response will be reported. But if you have no context and you see that response, it just seems as though the Israelis are once again attacking innocent Palestinian women and children, because you don't have context. On the other hand, what I do note is that for example in South Africa, I'm not sure that South Africans care. We're experiencing huge corruption with government. We've got power and energy issues. We've got an economy that is struggling along. Unemployment is high. We've got real things within South Africa. And as much as people it's supporters of Israel want South Africans to care about Israel, and the anti-Israel, a mob wants them to care about Israel in a negative. The reality is that people have other things to worry about. And I'm not sure that that's terrible. I think people should be worrying about that.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I think to myself, like, if Israel was treated like any other country, just normally, then that might be better.
Well, we would like that, but we certainly can't expect that. Is unfortunately all we have time for. Fascinating conversation. Thank you for having that with me, Lahav Harkov-Levine. She's
Thank
a senior
you.
Contributing editor and diplomatic correspondent at the Jerusalem Post. It's 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.